Mike is the head of mechanical engineering at Cogdell in Madison, Wisconsin. Mike is a member of TC 9.6 Healthcare Facilities HVAC Design, where he is the subcommittee chair for Healthcare Energy. He is a member of Special Projects Committee 91.2, where he's the author of the sustainability section for the rewrite of the HVAC Design Manual for Healthcare Facilities. And he was a contributing author to the Advanced Energy Design Guide for Small Healthcare Facilities. This is Mike.
Okay, so today my objective is to introduce the LEED for Healthcare rating system that's just been that's just come out from the USGBC. Talk a little bit about how it's intended to be applied to the various healthcare facilities, and to show some of the significant differences between it and the LEED for new construction. Before I kind of get into it, how many people here have actually used LEED for new construction in applying it to a healthcare facility? Okay. So you'll be interested in hearing some of this, because I'm not sure if it's going to make it easier or better, but it's certainly going to be more directed to it. How many people in here actually don't have any working knowledge of the LEED system? Okay, good. Well, then I don't have to worry about terminology and whatnot. How many people in here still have money left? And if you do, can you see me afterwards? Because I need some to get home. And plus, I have to spend an extra night here because I can't fly home because it's getting buried in snow. So see me afterwards, please. Okay, so LEED for healthcare. So what really the motivation behind it was to develop a guide and to recognize high performance in healthcare projects. There was a recognition that healthcare projects are different enough from office buildings that it justified the need for a LEED rating system specific for healthcare. So that was the motivation behind it. It's actually been a very collaborative effort in the development using the Green Guide for Healthcare. Is basically LEED leveraged all the experience that has gone on with the people that had actually used this particular guide in lieu of the LEED rating systems to help benchmark their sustainability efforts. So it helped accelerate the pilot project process that USGBC usually has for LEED rating systems. I know for a fact that the Green Guide folks, when they first were starting to develop their program, they really tried to align it with the LEED categories and formatting so that it could be easily adopted at some point in time. LEED for Healthcare was passed last November, and it's open for registrations. Projects can register now for it. However, the official launch of LEED for Healthcare is scheduled sometime this spring. There's a little bit more about the GGHC program. Had over 100 projects that were used as basically pilot projects to help adjust and modify the usability of the requirements and the credits. LEED for Healthcare helps to take into consider some of the special conditions that healthcare have, the 24/7 operations, all the regulatory requirements that healthcare projects have, the fact that the goal and the mission of the facility is serving, you know, patients and their wellness. So all of those types of things were taken into account. The attention to infection control. For example, most of the IAQ ventilation kind of elements of the standard have something to do with infection control. So kind of where it's at right now, so yes, projects can switch. If you have a project that's currently in another LEED rating system, you can switch it to LEED for Healthcare. But there's a few things you have to take into consideration. One is that all of your project data that you've entered so far in that other rating system has to be re-entered. If the rating system is a version 3, there's no additional fees, but if it's one of the older version 2 ones, there's going to be some additional fees if you want to switch it. Right now, until this official launch, it's optional. It's completely optional whether you want to use Lead for Healthcare or a different rating system. But after the launch is done, there's going to be some facilities are going to be designated. That's the term that the USGBC is using, is designated. Some designated facilities will have to use Lead for Healthcare if they want to have a lead rating. And those facilities are the licensed or federal inpatient, outpatient, and long-term care facilities. And then there's some facilities that will have the option to use it, and those are medical office, clinics, some assisted living, veterinary office, dental. So there's a variety of things that can use it on an optional basis. Since most people are familiar with LEAD, so the minimum project requirements are going to be the same for LEAD for Healthcare as they are for new construction. One of the items that's in there for that deals with the owners giving permission to share their energy and water use data. So make sure you're aware of that and the building owner is aware of that requirement. Pilot projects, pilot credits, there's 4 pilot credits kind of related to this healthcare guide to be aware of. That you can use these credits in your innovation and design category if you'd like to. And one of them's involving the contaminant reduction type stuff. One's around medical and process equipment efficiency. And there's one about using innovative ventilation type things like displacement ventilation, natural ventilation. And then there's one on chemical avoidance. So check those out if you're looking for some innovation and design credits. They're very, I know I've looked into the medical and process equipment efficiency. Even though it's in there, they're telling you that you have to use the 25% or better efficient medical equipment. There's really no data yet where you can get that. So I'm not quite sure. That pilot credit has a lot of work to do yet. But there's a lot of efforts. There's some even within ASHRAE to try to capture some of that data. So I think in the not too distant future, we'll have data like that. At some point. And I know the European Union is putting out requirements, so I think the big manufacturers of MRIs and CTs and stuff are going to have to meet these European Union standards. So maybe we can get on the coattails of some of that work and get it incorporated. Okay, Lead for construction versus the lead for new construction versus the healthcare rating system. A little bit about the kind of comparing the two. We have essentially they've modified 6 of the prerequisites. They've modified 25 of the credits, and they've added 3 prerequisites and 15 credits. So it's a pretty significant revision. They have on the LEAD website, they have this comparison table, so I'm not sure how clear that has come up on the slide, but this comparison table where it outlines what's, in a real brief form, what's been changed and added. From the sustainable site aspect, I'm only going to touch on briefly, I'm not going to touch on the things that don't really apply to HVAC right now, so you'll have to go to the website to get more information on that. Let's see. So on the water efficiency, I'm missing a slide here. Okay, so just picture this slide. Okay, we're going to talk about the points and stuff, what's different between LEED for new construction and LEED for healthcare. The point total is the same for them. There's 110 possible points for each of those. The rating levels are the same. So for certified, it's 40 to 49, and for silver, it's 50 to 59. Gold, 60 to 69, and platinum is basically above that. The number of points in the various categories have shifted around some, and some of the point totals within each of the specific credits has shifted around some, but it's in the end, there's still 110 possible points, and the ratings themselves are the same. So back to the water efficiency, things that you guys might want to know about is that there are some water use restrictions on medical equipment, and things like cooling towers are in there, and medical and water use for cooling medical process equipment. So that might touch some of your work, so be aware of those. Energy and atmosphere, some of the highlights there is that there's a couple new prescriptive paths for demonstrating the minimum energy performance. One is using the AEDG guide as for facilities under 90,000 square feet. Facilities over 90,000, you can use the Green Guide for Healthcare. The optimized energy performance scoring, there's a different table in there versus the new construction one in terms of how much better than code and how many points you're going to get. And the total number of points are available are different, so take a look at that. And the new credit is dealing with essentially with products of combustion of your boilers and stuff. There, the standard is referencing a standard out of California, the Southern California Air Quality Control District standards. So that's a new credit. There, some of the points have been adjusted in some of the other credits. Material and resources, basically they've added some credits again around hazardous and contaminants control on that. Essentially that's what most of these are dealing with. Indoor environmental quality, things to point out there is that the standard for ventilation is standard 170, not 62. And so that's been modified. There's more, a lot of emphasis in trying to contain contaminants and identify in the renovation. There's a lot of credit and attention on renovation work, and that there's an assessment required of hazardous material and moisture, and the presence of moisture. And so that you have to have a survey, and a remediation action has to take place on those projects. There's a new credit on acoustic requirements, and definitely look into that one. It's referencing the guidelines, and also it's referencing the handbook in terms of some specific criteria. They've combined a few credits as well in terms of VOC stuff. The credit on indoor quality during construction, that one's got a lot more stuff in it, especially if it's a renovation, so take a look at that. Let's see. There's pressurization requirements to help contain contaminants. The system controllability, patient rooms all have to have their own controllability. And then there's some language regarding some of the other spaces and natural ventilation. You get some credit for that. You can, on some of the controllability issues and stuff. So take a look at that one as well. And lastly, the There's a new a prerequisite in innovation and design regarding integrated project delivery, and there's actually a credit, you know, associated with that as well. So that's it for me today. So any questions? Got a few more minutes, I think.
What do you need?
You need this. Okay. Does it work? Do you need this one?
Yeah, we want to make sure that these questions are recorded for the conference session. Thank you.
Before I record that question on the lead help, is there going to be a special exam for that? And is there a reference guide that's going to come out?
For part one, there is not at this time a specialty associated with it. And in terms of the reference guide, I haven't seen specifically that that's one of the things that they're going to roll out with the launch, but I would expect it to be. Right now they have, if you go in to register, they're asking for people to use the templates that they have in there and give them feedback. I think so, whatever modification, you know, from that feedback, they'll make some changes before the launch in terms of the templates and tools that are currently available right now.
Any other questions?
I just want to point out that this is probably the only seminar we're going to attend here where two of the speakers competed against one another in the world Ironman triathlon championship. That's Mike and Jeff. Anyway, well, that concludes our presentation. Please remember.